The Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 11 to 17. Jesus made the crowds welcome and talked to them about the kingdom of God. And he cured those who were in need of healing. It was late afternoon when the 12 came to him and said, "Send the people away, and they can go to the villages and farms around about to find lodging and food, for we are in a lonely place here." He replied, "Give them something to eat yourselves." But they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go ourselves and buy food for all these people, for there are about 5,000 men. But he said to his disciples, "Get them to sit down in parties of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, raised his eyes to heaven, and said the blessing over them. Then he broke them and handed them to the disciples to distribute among the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted, and when the scraps remaining were collected, they filled 12 baskets.
When Jesus sets foot on the right bank of the Jordan, he finds a large crowd waiting for him. After he has been speaking at length to the crowd, the apostles say to him, "Master, evening is approaching. This is a desert place, far from houses and villages, and it is shady and damp. In a short while it will not be possible to see or to walk here, because the moon rises late. Dismiss the people, so that they may go to villages along the Jordan to buy food and to find lodgings." "They need not go," says Jesus. "Give them something to eat. They can sleep here just as they did when they were waiting for me." "Master, you know that there are only 5 loaves left and 2 fish. Bring them to me." Andrew goes away at once. John and Philip also look for Margiam, the orphan boy whom they are looking after, among the crowds who continuously change place. They find him almost simultaneously. There are 7 boys with him playing. Margiam leaves his friends, but the other boys follow him, and Jesus is soon surrounded by a circle of children. He caresses them, while Philip takes a parcel out of his bag containing some loaves, which are wrapped together with 2 big fish. There are 2 kilograms of fish, or a little more. They would not suffice for 18 people of Jesus' group. They take the food to the master. "Very well," says Jesus, "now bring me some baskets, 17, as many as you are." Margiam will hand the food to the children. Jesus stares at a scribe who has always been near him and asks, "Will you give food to the hungry people too?" The scribe replies, "I would like to, but I have none myself." And Jesus says, "Give mine." "But are you going to satisfy 5,000 men, besides women and children, with those 2 fish and the 5 loaves? "Undoubtedly," says Jesus. "Don't be incredulous. Those who believe will see the miracle being accomplished." "Oh, in that case, I want to hand out the food too." And Jesus tells him, "Well then, get somebody to give you a basket." The apostles come back with baskets and hand baskets, some of which are low and wide, others are deep and narrow. The scribe comes back with a rather small one. Obviously his faith, or his lack of belief, made him pick that one as the largest required. Then Jesus says, "Good. Leave everything here. Get the crowds to sit in an orderly way in rows as far as possible. And while I do that, Jesus raises the loaves with the fish on top of them, offers them, prays, and blesses them. The scribe does not take his eyes off Jesus for a moment. Jesus breaks the 5 loaves into 18 parts. He also makes 18 parts of the 2 fish and puts a bit of fish, a tiny bit indeed, into each basket. He then breaks each of the 18 bits of bread into morsels, each bit into many morsels, relatively many, about 20, not more. He then puts each bit, which he has broken into morsels, into a basket with a bit of fish. "Now take them and hand the food out to fill everybody," Jesus says. "Go, Marjam, hand the food out to your companions." "Oh, how heavy it is," says Marjam, lifting his basket. He goes at once towards his little friends, walking like one who carries a heavy weight. The apostles, disciples, and the scribe watch him go incredulously. They then pick up their baskets, and shaking their heads, they say to one another, "Oh, the boy is joking. They are the same weight as before." And the scribe looks inside his basket, puts his hand into it, searching for the bottom, because it is getting dark. Notwithstanding their remarks, they go towards the people and begin to hand the food out. Now and again they look back at Jesus, thoroughly astonished, as they move further and further away. And the master, leaning against a tree with folded arms, smiles at their astonishment. The distribution takes a long time and is plentiful. The only one who shows no surprise is Marjam, who smiles and is happy to be able to fill the laps of so many poor children with bread and fish. He is also the first to go back to Jesus, saying, "I have dealt out so much, because I know what it is to be hungry." And he raises his little face and looks at Jesus with wide open eyes. Jesus caresses him, and a bright smile appears on Marjam's face while he leans trustfully against Jesus, his master and protector. The apostles and disciples come back slowly, dumbfounded with amazement. Last is the scribe, who says nothing, but he makes a gesture that is more than a sermon. He kneels down and kisses the hem of Jesus' tunic. Jesus says, "Take your share and give me some. Let us eat the food of God." And they eat, each according to his need. In the meantime, the people, who are now satisfied, exchange their impressions. They go around Jesus, make their comments, watch Marjam, who finishes his food and plays with the other children. "Master," asks the scribe, "why did the boy feel the weight at once, and we did not? I searched inside. There were still the few morsels of bread and the one piece of fish. I began to feel the weight when I moved towards the crowd, but if it had weighed what I gave out, it would have taken a pair of mules to carry it, not in a basket, but with a wagon packed with food. At the beginning I was dealing it out sparingly, but later I gave and gave, and as I did not want to be unfair, I went back to the first ones and gave them more, because I'd given them only a little at first. And yet it was enough." And John says, "I felt the basket was getting heavy when I set out, and I gave plenty at once because I realized that you had worked a miracle." Manaen, another disciple, says, "I stopped, I sat down, and poured everything on my lap to see, and I saw loaves and loaves. I then went on." And Bartholomew says, "I even counted them. There were 50 small loaves. So I said, I'll give them to 50 people and then I'll go back. And I counted, but when I got to 50, the weight was still the same. I looked inside. There were so many. I went on and I handed out hundreds of them. And Thomas, I must admit I did not believe. And I took the morsels of bread and the bit of fish in my hand and looked at them, saying, what's the use of them? Jesus must have been joking. And I looked at them over and over again, hiding behind a tree, hoping and despairing to see them grow. But they're always the same. I was about to come back when Matthew passed by, saying, have you noticed how beautiful they are? What? I asked him. The loaves and fish, he said. Are you mad? I replied. I can only see morsels of bread. And Matthew said, go and hand them out with faith and you will see. I threw the few morsels back into the basket and I went reluctantly. And then, oh, forgive me, Jesus, because I am a sinner. No, Thomas, you are a worldly spirit. You reason according to the world. I as well, Lord, says Judas Iscariot, so much so that I was thinking of giving a coin with the bread, and I said to myself, they will eat somewhere else. I was hoping to help you cut a finer figure. So what am I, like Thomas or more so? You are much more worldly than Thomas. And yet I was thinking of giving alms to be heavenly. It was my own personal money. Alms to yourself, to your pride, says Jesus, and alms to God. But the latter does not need them, and is a sin to give alms to your pride, not a merit. Judas lowers his head and becomes silent. Simon the Zealot says, I instead thought that I had to crumble the morsel of fish and the morsel of bread so that they would suffice. I did not doubt they would be sufficient, because a drop of water given by you can be more nourishing than a banquet. And what do you think? Peter asks Jesus' two cousins. We remember Cana and did not doubt, replies Judas Thaddeus gravely. And you, James, my dear brother, were you thinking only of that? Asks Jesus. No, I thought it was a sacrament. It is so, or am I wrong? Jesus smiles. It is, and it is not. It is not yet a sacrament. The scribe is holding a crumb of bread in his hand. What are you going to do with that? Asks Jesus. A souvenir, he replies. I'll keep one too. I'll put it around Margiam's neck in a little bag, says Peter. And I'll take it to our mother, says John. And what about us? We've eaten it all, say the others sorrowfully. And Jesus says, stand up, go around again with the basket, and collect the remaining scraps. Select the poorest people and bring them here with the basket. The apostles obey, and then they come back with 12 baskets full of remnants of food and followed by about 30 beggars or poor people. Jesus says to Maria Valtorta, my priests continually preach the power of God, who feeds the multitudes by multiplying the small amount of food. A beautiful and sweet miracle. But for a God who has multiplied the suns in the firmament, what does the multiplication of a few crumbs of bread represent? I, the Christ, the Word of the Father, teach you another miracle in the miracle. A miracle that you too can work when you are able to reach the power which is needed. How do I obtain that miracle? Just by touching the bread and breaking it with my divine hands? No. The gospel says, and he gave thanks. This is the miracle in the miracle. I, the Son of the Father, almighty like the Father, creator with the Father, gave thanks. I pray to the Father, I humble myself in an action of submission and trust. I do not believe myself to be exonerated from the duty of asking the Eternal Father, whose duty it is to come to the aid of his sons and daughters, but he also has the right to be recognized as a supreme Lord of heaven and earth. I, God, like him, remind myself of this right. I fulfill this duty and teach it to you with the duty to respect and the duty to trust. The miracle of the multiplied bread is worked after I have given thanks to the Father.